Hello, everybody. Listen, please. Silence, please. This is the story of Parvati and Shiva. Here come Shiva and Parvati. Once upon a time, Parvati was born to Prajapati and his wife Aditi. They had waited a long time for a little daughter, and when she came into the world, they were overjoyed. Now, Prajapati had his home in the heavens. He was a very important god. Some called him the god of gods because he managed all of the other gods' business. Some of them needed a lot of managing. They were not the most organized lot. Well, one day when Parvati was 4 years old, Shiva came to visit Prajapati in his home. Now, Shiva was a rascal. He was a trickster. He really didn't care what anybody thought about him. He lived his own way. He was, after all, the creator of the world and the destroyer of worlds. And so, he arrived at Prajapati's home, unbathed, because he never bathed, his hair all dreads down to his feet, very short, very dusky and dark, because he was dusty. And Prajapati was not terribly pleased ever in having to entertain him on his fine brocaded cushions. However, the meeting continued, and Parvati, who was 4 years old, managed to glimpse this god. And she fell in love. At the age of four, she fell in love. She knew that this was the god that she wanted to marry. And so after Shiva left, she told her parents, "This is what I want. When I come of age, I will marry Shiva." Well, both of the parents were just in a state of despair. They really wanted something much better for her. They didn't want her living like a hooligan. So time passed, and they thought, well, maybe she will forget. But she didn't. When she reached the age of 16, Prajapati and Aditi threw a party, and all the gods were invited. The idea was that Parvati would stand on the balcony at a certain time and point to the god that she wanted to marry. And she was so beautiful and so wise and so loving that every god was quite happy with that arrangement. The day of the party came, and Prajapati and his wife had their fingers crossed. "Please, please, please, I hope that Shiva does not show up. I hope there was no invitation sent to him. So I hope he didn't find out." But sure enough, after all of the guests arrived, and this wonderful place had been set for the party, all little fairy lights everywhere and wonderful food, and all of the gods were decked out in their feathers and jewels and brocades, looking absolutely fabulous. And Shiva shows up at the gate with Nandi, his bull, the white bull, and a retinue of fools behind him. And he enters, and of course he has every right to be there, so he couldn't be turned away. And he greeted Prajapati and Aditi and said to them very little, because he really didn't speak. He kind of grunted and groaned a bit and moved on through. He was not dressed. He was naked as the day he was born. He was still dusty, unbathed, dark from the dirt, dreads all the way down to his feet, and he headed right for the food table. No present for the parents, no gift for Parvati, no indication that he was interested in being a husband. As a matter of fact, he'd kind of made it known that he was not interested in having a wife. So the party progressed with the mother and father cringing. And it was time for Parvati to stand on the balcony. And of course, who did she see? The love of her life. And she spent no time in pointing him out. And so Shiva shrugged his shoulders and said it was fine with him, and he left the party. Back to Mount Kailasa, where he lived, followed by his retinue of fools. The day of the wedding came. Again, a fabulous, fabulous feast was set out. There was everything that you can imagine. And the parents were waiting, and Parvati was waiting also, over off to the side. And she was surrounded by her friends, her lady friends, her women friends. And they had to hold her up, because underneath her red silk sari, all of her petticoats were sewn with gold. So she had all of the money, her dowry, everything was sewn into her petticoats. So she could hardly stand with the weight of it. And so they were holding her up by her elbows, behind her, in front of her, and they were waiting for Shiva to arrive. Well, the party started, and she was still standing there, and everybody was eating and drinking and nice music going and everything. And everybody was wondering where Shiva was. Well, he did show up, and he actually had the good grace to wear some nice clothes, and he had his hair all done up in a top knot, and he presented a case of jewels to Prajapati and Aditi, which they thought was at least something. The wedding commenced. Everything went very well. It was beautiful. The wedding ended, and all of the guests went home, saying all of their goodbyes in lovely ways. Mounds of jewels left everywhere as gifts for the bride and groom. And Shiva started off as well. He collected his bull and started walking. And Parvati called after him. She said, "Wait a minute. Where are you going? Stop. Stop this minute. I have to get my suitcase. I have to get all of my things. I have to get out of these petticoats. There's no way I can walk in them." And he looked over his shoulder and he said, "Well, you'll catch up when you do. You know where I'm going. I'm climbing that pathway there, going up the mountain to my home. And do the best you can." So she started running after him, and she said, "Damn it, this is terrible. I'm used to having, much better manners than this from the people who care about me." And so she pulled off her petticoats, and she threw them out over her arm. And she ran, and she got her suitcase, and threw her petticoats into the suitcase along with her other things, and took off up the mountain and caught up with Shiva. Well, she was huffing and puffing by this time, and she was getting really angry. And she said, "Lord God of all creation, do you mind very much? Can I throw myself on your bull and have your bull carry me up?" "No. Nobody rides Nandi. Nobody. That means you too." So he kept walking. Well, by the time they were two-thirds of the way up the mountain, steam was coming out of her ears. She was angry beyond measure. And she thought, "I'm really going to let this guy have it." They get to the cave at the top, which is his home, right? The top of the mountain. It is dark. It is cold. It is dirty. He has not swept. He has not cleaned. He has not cleaned. He hasn't brought in any provisions. The bed that they are supposed to be sleeping in is all, matted and dead ferns and boughs of various things that just you wouldn't invite, you know, cattle to sit in. So she was, at that point, the anger went out of her and she was cold. She was cold and she was sad. And she just sat down where she was. And she looked at Shiva, and he, at that point, had sat down on the floor facing the wall. He looked over his shoulder at her and he said, "Okay, now, do not disturb me. I am going into meditation." And she said, "What? You're doing what?" "Yes, I will be in meditation. Do not disturb me." "Oh, this beats all," she said to herself. "This is really horrible. I had not anticipated anything like this whatsoever. Now I see why my parents were really so adamant about my not getting married to this bloke." So, 7 years went by. He was 7 years in meditation. And by that time, she had the cave all cleaned up. It was bright and cheerful, lots of beautiful foods and decorations. The bed was wonderfully soft and comfortable. And the mailman came, kind of popped his head in the opening of the cave, and he says, "Hey, Parvati, guess what? Your parents are giving a party. I know you haven't been out of this place in 7 years. Why don't you get yourself all dressed up and come on down and join in with all the rest of us?" She said, "Oh, yeah, you know, I think that sounds like a pretty good idea." So she did just that. She got out her finest sari and she got herself all prettied up. And she went down the mountain to the party. And she knocked on the front door of the house, her father's and mother's house. Boom, boom, boom. And a servant opened the door and said, "Hello. How can I help you?" And Parvati said, "That's an odd question. You know who I am. Let me in." "Oh, no, I can't do that. I have orders not to do that. Your father has left orders. You are not to be admitted into this house." "What are you talking about? You are a servant. You are talking to a goddess. How could you talk to me like that?" And he said, "I have to follow orders. Your father is a god of gods." And she said, "Let me speak to my mother right now." So Aditi came to the door and said to her, "I am sorry, my dear Parvati, but you made your bed. You made a choice. You are married to that fool on the hill, and you can just jolly well stay there, you know, enjoy it. But you're not coming back here, because I know you're unhappy. I know what you want, and our shoulders are not here for you to cry on. That's it. You're a woman now. Go take care of yourself. You're accountable to yourself for the choices you make." Good Lord. So Parvati at that turned around from the door and was just, you know, shaken. "Oh, Lordy, Lordy, Lordy. Now I am alone. I am really alone. I have married a fool. I am terribly lonely. And okay, nothing for it." So she went back up the mountain. And by the time she was two-thirds of the way up the mountain, steam was coming out of her ears. Anger towards her parents, anger towards Shiva. How could anybody be like this? This is just so insulting. How could she be insulted in this way? She went into the cave and stood looking at Shiva's back and thought, "This is it, buddy. You're over. This whole thing is over." So she taps him on the shoulder and she says, "Shiva, Lord God of all creation." Nothing. He doesn't stir. She does it again and again. And finally he opens one eye. And as he takes a breath, He says to her, "What is it that you want? That you would break me out of my meditation is just unthinkable." And she said, "Well, I have a question for you, Shiva, Lord God of all creation. Why do you need to meditate on your own creation? Tell me that." He opened the other eye and he stared at the wall for a minute. And he thought, she's got a point there. What am I doing? I don't have to keep meditating on it to keep it going round. It goes round all by itself. It's in its cycle. So he turned around and he looked at her, and of course she was dressed in the nines, and he fell in love. In the Purana it says that she has the face of the moon and the hair that looked like the wings of ravens, and her eyes were like doe's eyes, and so on. It waxes on about her beauty. But he also fell in love with her courage and her mind and her insight. She could actually see something, and she had brought it to his attention. So he turned around to her and she said, "Oh, no, 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 no. Oh, no, you don't." "Oh, no. I haven't been through all of this just for you to. You go out and you take a bath. And you cut your hair. And you use ointments to soften up that ratty old skin of yours. And come to me, perfumed and dressed in your best brocades. And then it's really important about what you say to me." So he said, "All right, well." And so he went out and he did that. And he came back to her. And they made love. And that night, Ganesha was conceived, their son. I'm done.